Oh, we haven't seen the movie. Is that going to be a problem?
Jessica would be so pissed.
I would be so pissed.
She wouldn't even want to watch it.
Because I'm so mad at you guys that I had to watch this movie.
I heard that you were trying to get out of it.
I was really...
I chose it.
I did think there was a good chance that Jessica was just going to be like, no.
This is like for a horror movie podcast. It's like a real fucking horror movie.
It's I like have thoughts. The worst. Let's not say anything. Yeah.
All right.
He's right behind you.
I'm Avital Ash.
I'm Jessica Richards.
And this is...
He's right behind you.
Ah! Who do we have next to us?
Hi, I'm Christina Karchner.
Back again.
You're only our second return guest, right?
No, third.
Who's second?
We had Amir.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had Stephen or Benji. Which one?
Oh, right. Okay, you're our third.
Now.
Well,
now this is awkward because I can't remember which one. So say which one it was.
Benji.
Okay.
Because we had Benji and Stephen come on. Who I think you would really like. You met Steven once at a writer's group. He was the only other guy there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
really
his writing partner.
Yes.
So he came with his wife, much like we had Christina, who is now coming with her wife, Chantal. But you're our third return guest, which is still a pretty high honor.
Thank you so much. I'm very glad you think I'm beautiful.
Oh, wait. Did I say that?
No, but I just assumed if you're going to invite someone back...
Oh, it's just because of how
you
they look.
You want to look at them.
You're our first female return guest.
Yay!
Well, that makes this sound kind of bad, but that's okay.
Well, there's only been two other return
guests. Well, I know you guys.
One of them I live with. Yeah. There can only be two. Me and Jessica, that's it. Sean.
Hi.
What's your relationship with horror?
Oh, man, I love horror. I've been fascinated by movies, but especially horror movies, since I was a kid. And so I've been watching.
I just realized I didn't say anything about you. So we should say that you're a writer.
Yes.
You're also an actor.
Yes.
Would you add more descriptors?
And
to learn about Christina, go back and listen to The Ring.
Yeah, yes. It doesn't matter.
We don't care about you right now.
I'm a Jew.
A Jew and an Asian. You're like
a
double
Jew
whammy.
Yeah.
A unicorn.
My mom is Japanese, and my father is dead.
But he was
Yeah,
Jewish.
But he was Jewish at one point. What? Oh, come on. It's a horror podcast. Why are you leaving?
And you were just writing, you've written on a bunch of shows now.
Yeah.
You're writing on Rick and Morty, which is very cool. My brothers will be very impressed.
Oh, yeah. They just...
my brother, too.
Hey.
Christina?
No.
What about your brother?
My brothers have never heard of Rick and Morty, nor do they want to.
And my father would be really...
Nor do they want to. Oh. I thought that it wasn't enough to say that her brothers hadn't heard of it, but that they also don't want to hear of it.
There is, like, Rick and Morty is a weird, like, street cred with your brother's show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So wait, do you want... And then I know for acting, this is what comes to mind. You did an episode of Key and Peele. You did this series with Dave Horowitz. With Little Cuties, that was really fun. It was delightful. Is there anything else people should know or check out?
I did Amir's second season of Lonely and Horny.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I forgot. Who were you in that?
I was.
He wasn't in it.
Oh, I know. I was. I was in the I was
wow.
in the episode with the
Do you know
Amir? Was not
this
memorable.
Is definitely
just a run out of the room right now. The escape room.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I was one of the other couples that were
okay.
Yeah.
Did you mention corporate?
Yes, I was also in corporate.
Oh, I didn't mention. Yeah.
Both seasons.
Great show.
Yeah.
I've only seen a few episodes, but it was great.
It's a great show. It's
yeah,
a great show.
I love it.
Do you, I think you want to direct, but I don't know if you are, if
I
you
would,
have.
Yeah, I have not, but.
A writer, director, a writer, actor, soon to be director.
Yes. I mean, I directed some stuff when I was like, you know, on a high camera when I was a little kid, like a lot of little videos.
That counts.
And
we'll
I
count
was...
it. Oh, and stand up. You're very and Christina. I don't know if I said that about you last time, but you guys are both very funny stand ups as well.
Thank you. Didn't you direct a video Amir was in when you guys were like in high school?
She's my manager. Yes, I did.
I watched it. It was really. Really incredible work.
Yeah.
There was a long pause.
We were in a lot of...
Okay, so your relationship with horror is that your dad died.
And every year since has been a horror movie.
Oh. We laughed on pain, and that's why we helped you stand up.
I hope none of my relatives turn into this and think, yeah, I was like, you know, I grew up in Los Angeles, so I think I got a head start when it came to like just being around movies and kids whose parents were in the movie industry and just being, you know, around movies in general. I'm trying to think of what movie like kicked off my like movie fascination, like obsessive, like
movies in general or specifically horror?
Specifically horror.
Yeah, that'd be good for the podcast. Yeah, specifically horror.
Specifically horror.
Well, there could be like a movie that was your point of entry and then it led to horror.
I think,
you know?
I think like the earliest one, I think I remember watching Reservoir Dogs and then just being like, this is what I want to be like a filmmaker. And then I just watched all types of movies and then I sort of
that
leaned
did that
towards,
for me too. Yeah. I loved Reservoir Dogs.
That's great. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we've talked about this, but it's not great, your number one Tarantino. It's still my number
Pulp
one.
Fiction's that's my not number my one, number but one. It is my number two.
It's still pretty high.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's still my favorite.
But yeah,
Christina,
that was...
No.
Oh, I forgot. I remember we had a conversation where we were like, what's your favorite Quentin Tarantino movie? And I don't remember what I said.
All right.
Yeah. And I don't...
And you're not going to... <comment. laughs> I don't remember what I said then, and I'm not about to say
I still don't have...
So why did you choose Audition? Well, you hadn't seen it. You wanted to... I remember you said something not long ago about... I love horror because it's nice to feel something.
I started when I was a kid, I would watch a lot of transgressive like movies because when you're like a little boy, you're just raging id, mm-hmm. you know, just sex drive and violence, you know, like an aggression drive basically. Mm-hmm. Isn't it an aggression drive?
Sounds right.
Can we look up? Can you Google Freud?
Okay.
No. I was kidding about that. No. Okay. Did you Google no?
What is no?
So yeah, I would just start watching, and because my dad didn't censor the things that I watched. I love you, Father. but my mom was very upset that my dad didn't. So they constantly were arguing over like you're like you can't. My mom was like, you can't just expose him to like whatever he wants to watch because he's just gonna watch the worst things for him. My dad's like, let the boy be the boy. Let the boy be the boy. My dad, that's not what he said. Let bygones
that's
be
how
bygones.
Jews talk,
yeah,
know?
That's true. Let the boy be the boy.
Did anything scare you when you were little?
Like, did I watch a lot of scary movies?
Well, no, it's like you were saying you just kind of got to watch whatever. Did any of that stuff scare you?
Oh, yeah. Very. So I think that, like, I can remember watching Clockwork Orange for the first time.
Oh, yeah, that's
and when
scary.
That red, like, title screen came on and it just, like, starts with that, like, note. Like, I ran across my living room and watched the rest of it from behind my couch.
Wow. Yeah. But you didn't want to stop
great.
Watching it.
Oh, it's amazing. It was a perfect movie.
wow.
But, yeah, I just, like, you know, I just obsessively consumed horror films and was obsessive over them and
are you still or that was like a phase
that was like more of a phase when I was younger but I still love
no he loves violence
I love violence
he looks
but only
so
in
sweet.
Real life on TV and movies yuck
it's odd because he looks so sweet
I know
but,
you'll
know,
see
that's
the
like,
picture
when we watch movies he's always inclined to go for violent like yeah. gruesome movies and I'm like hey I'm a depressed person constantly have that
oh yeah so what are your favorite scary movies
I really okay let me try to think I should have been prepared for this question because that probably seemed like a no-brainer
you know,
question
ask it. I just really wanted to know right now
off the top of my head I really loved American Werewolf in London mm-hmm. I really liked Cabin in the Woods. It's funny because both of those movies are like
kinda
sort of
comedy.
Meta. Yeah. yeah. like
this is not comedy.
Yeah, I was just thinking. Not at all like Audition.
And then things like I like I don't like, but like Gaspar Noé's movies mm-hmm. are really when I told you that like I feel like my sensitivity is worn down. So any filmmaker that can like get a rise out of me mm-hmm. Or make me feel anything I'm like oh well that's you know that's craft
did you see Jennifer Kent's The Nightingale
no I haven't
I don't want to sit through it again, but I think that maybe you should see it. Because it felt like some of Irreversible to me, but like harder to take. So I wonder if you'll like it.
Harder to take?
Yeah, what a review.
Yeah. But he wants to feel something because he's so dead inside. Yeah.
There's really this great YouTube channel that Christina knows that. I try to show her a couple episodes of it, but it's called Disturbing Movie Breakdown,
mm-hmm.
and it's great because it'll take all the movies that sort of like, I don't want to watch a Serbian film and, you know, all these truly atrocious movies, and then he kind of just walks
Wikipedia
you through them.
For a Serbian film, and that's more than enough. It was plenty. Okay, that gives us a good sense. Yeah. Is there an image either from a horror movie or from your imagination or nightmares or life that's like scariest to you?
Stuck with you.
Mm-hmm.
Stuck with me. Well, that Clockwork Orange one was pretty vivid.
Which
in my
part
mind.
Of it? You were saying the opening credits?
Just well, that's not even that like shocking, that opening scene, but actually going to see Irreversible in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
Feeling like I need to leave the theater in like the first 15 minutes.
Because of the camera work?
Yeah, I thought it was the camera work, but it's also, you know, I mean, like the beginning is very jarring and like violent. And, you know, there's that scene where he crushes the guy's head
mm-hmm.
with a fire extinguisher.
Oh, right.
And, you know, and I was just like, I don't know what's happening to me. I feel like I'm going to throw up right now. And then I found out afterwards that Gaspar Noé puts in like a tone mm-hmm. that induces nausea.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was trying to hurt you, which mm-hmm. is so cool. And I love when filmmakers try to hurt.
I hate that.
I love it so much. And so there's this director named William Castle that was like in the 1950s, I want to say, that movie Matinee. That John Goodman is in, that is a Joe Dante movie, who directed Gremlins. What if I just kept going on? it's based off of, the movie Matinee is based off this director. He's a real director who would put like buzzers in people's seats and like pump scents into the theater so mm-hmm. that they could, you know, like there'd be like John Waters. I think it was polyester, did like disgusting smells for like mm-hmm. his I think he gave you like a little card that was supposed to come with the movie and you're supposed to smell it at the time and you know when
like
it lines up with the time
sniff.
Of the movie. Yeah, like a scratch and sniff thing. And yeah, this director was just cool. I just like that Gaspar Noé like is trying to like make you just jostle you and you know and
give you
a lot
an
of people
experience.
Yeah, just like you know truly, even if it's traumatic, it's like, and that's what I liked about the Takashi Miike, the movie that we're going to talk about today, is that it just unfortunately I spoiled it for myself by first reading, oh, this movie is often we're going to talk about it in a little
bit. Yeah. Do you have an updated scary image that you want to point out?
An updated one.
Yeah, anything new since
what was yours last time?
What was mine? I think I was just talking about life.
We talked about the ring a lot.
Yeah.
The ring is so fucking scary.
Yeah, the ring freaked me out. And then Elizabeth Smart.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't thought about it. I'll let you know if I think of something.
Okay, great. On your third return.
Yeah, on my third return, I'll give you a good answer to that.
I feel like some of this movie is going to stick with me for a while.
Really?
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. Okay, so you started to say, Sean, you feel like you ruined it for yourself a little bit?
Well, I ruined it because, I was scared of this movie because it has such a charge to it. Like, mm-hmm. people like to talk about how shocking this movie is all the time. So I was like, what's shocking about this movie? You know, and I looked up what sort of happened in it.
Were you trying to like prepare yourself?
I was trying to prepare myself.
You
like
were
steal myself
cat?
For this.
You
yeah, yeah. I was a little chicken.
Did you read ahead of time?
I had read about it ages ago, but I didn't remember, and then I didn't refresh mm-hmm. myself. But you were reading along in real time, right?
Well, I used to watch this show that came on Bravo called The 100 Scariest Moments.
Mm.
From movies. And
Eli Roth is part of that, right?
He is.
I saw him talking
about
it. Yes.
And that show, if you watch it, ruins all the movies that are on the list for you because mm-hmm. it shows like the scariest part of each of those movies. So that's how I knew what this was because I watched that.
So you had already seen the scariest scene?
Yes, but it was on Bravo. So it's not quite showing it, but they're telling you what it is.
Okay.
They're telling you all the things that she does.
Okay.
And they set up, like, that whole thing. That's why I'm like, it'll spoil every movie if you haven't seen it. But it's, yeah, it's like, it's about this. And then this happens. And here's why we all think it's so great and scary. And yeah, Eli Roth is on there.
I love that you just sat through that and watched 100 spoilers for movies.
By the way, I've seen that like 3 or 4 times. I used to just leave it on the TV.
Greatest spoilers. Oh, boy.
I liked it because it would show all these movies that I hadn't seen. And it would like walk you through them. And then I'd be like, oh, well, that sounds good. I want to see that. Or I'd be like, cool, I don't need to see that.
Right.
This would be on the second part of that.
Kind of like disturbing movie breakdowns. I'm going to give a shout out to my man, Spooky. His name is Spooky.
Did you guys watch this together?
We did.
Okay.
Leading up to this, Audition has been on my list for years, and I've always been told it's the most disturbing movie ever. And so going into it, I was assuming it was going to be the most disturbing movie ever. But because I had that in my mind, I don't think I was affected as much.
Same.
Me too, actually. Yeah. Oh.
So I was kind of disappointed. I was like, did we forget? Like, I can appreciate for what it was at the time. I feel like it opened up things. But, I mean, there's much more gruesome films out there.
The basic premise of this movie. Well, did you know anything before? Or you just knew that? Okay.
Oh, so if you're curious, this was number 11 on the 100 Scariest Movie Moments.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What's number one?
What movie without what the spoiler? Movie,
yeah.
You remember number 11, but not number one.
Well, because I looked this one up. Okay, well, here's the list. Number one, Jaws.
Wow.
Jaws pop out of the water.
My favorite horror
Exorcist
movie.
Was number 3.
What's number 2?
Alien.
I think this was scarier than any of those.
Alien chestburster scene, and I would say Exorcist would be.
No,
you're spoiling.
When she's on the bed, maybe, or she's throwing up or something. I don't know.
Okay, so back to Audition. The basic premise: this man loses his wife. It doesn't tell us how she dies, right?
No, she's just sick.
Yeah, she's in the hospital.
His wife dies.
The kid's got the little thing that he made for his mom.
Yeah.
What was the art project? I don't even remember.
I don't remember, but it says like "for mom" on it because they show us that in English, like they subtitle it.
Yeah.
It was the cancer remedy.
Just a little late. So sad.
And then the son, years and years later, wants his dad to get back into dating. And
yeah,
so
we
this
cut ahead
friend.
7 years. Mm. Is that right?
Yeah.
I think that's right. Yeah.
And
I saw this a week ago, so I'm like really testing my memory.
I know. I also I haven't seen it in way too long.
I know, because
we were going to record. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, so here was my story with that. So I wanted to see it for free. I found a way to do that, which was like if you
Shudder.
He did like a Shudder trial on Amazon Prime for a week, but I'd already used it on my mom's Amazon Prime, so I'd use it on Brad's. But then I did it for our original date. And then we moved it, and I was like, oh, shit, I don't want to watch this movie. And then I had to, like, watch it under the wire because I was like, I don't want to pay for it after I've already done a free trial.
Oh, life's so hard. Did you hear Sean's dad is dead?
Did you hear my Shudder story?
That's not cool.
I'm sorry. Okay, so the basic premise is this guy, in trying to find a new wife,
sets up an audition
with his friend. It's really his friend's idea, and
yeah,
they audition
his friend
women.
Works for like a movie.
He's a producer. Yeah, and they're gonna like audition.
That feels
women.
Very real. Just producers being like, "Let's bring in women,
right.
and we'll date some of them."
Have you heard that joke? How many producers does it take to screw in a light bulb?
No.
Producers don't screw in light bulbs. They screw in hot tubs.
No.
Pretty good, right?
Yeah.
Oh. Anyway, what was most shocking to me about this movie, knowing that it's a horror, knowing that it has this reputation for brutality, is the first like hour is just like a rom-com.
It's a rom-com.
It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, because that's how it's supposed to play. You're not supposed to know it's a traumatic movie.
Right.
Like, yeah.
But you kind of have to know, right? Because it's going to be rated R. It's going to like, or did they straight up market it as a...
But you don't know what's coming. You know, it's
cover.
A horror movie. But that was kind of like when I saw Parasite. Everyone's saying it's a horror movie, but I didn't know what it was about.
Yeah. And
right.
The U.S. horror cover. I mean, the cover is like her in the apron.
The cover's a real spoiler.
Yeah, the cover's a spoiler. But I think that in Japan it wasn't her on the cover with a syringe.
I mean, if you're watching that movie expecting a rom-com, then, yeah, I feel like I'd be traumatized.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I saw somebody on Reddit was like, the best way to watch this movie is with a bunch of friends after you told them that you're going to watch a rom-com. Like, oh, God.
Really funny. Yeah, that's good.
Which, like, I would fully buy. It's almost saccharine.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Even, I mean, like, he's the death at the beginning.
Yeah.
He is except a jerk. He's such a jerk, and he's so, like, she's so young compared to him.
Yeah. Do you think and he's a jerk?
Like,
why?
Yeah, he's, like, so he becomes, like, creepily obsessed with her.
Yeah. I didn't think he was a jerk.
I did. I didn't feel like he was really, like, in love with her. I felt like he saw her picture, he read her thing, and then he was like, cool, so she's my new wife.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. But, oh, go ahead.
Not very rom in the rom-com there.
I just felt like it was kind of like a fantasy for him where, like, just how we perceive crushes for the first time, too, where we get this obsessive storyline in our head about who these people are, and he just made up the storyline.
I agree. Like, the idea of somebody is can be so much more potent than the reality of someone. And so I relate to that. He reads this essay, and it's deep and moving, and she's also suffered loss, and that's why we're meant to be together. And then, of course, she's gorgeous. Mm-hmm. So all of those things combine to... Also, I remember from reading about it years ago, knowing the basic premise, I was like, yeah, fuck this guy. He holds a quote-unquote audition just so he can get with some woman. But that's not the case. There is a real movie. His friend pushes him to do it and is like, we're actually going to cast somebody, but in the process, you can meet your wife.
Yeah, what does he say? He's like, they say something about like, well, what if it's the girl who gets the part? And he's like, girls that get the parts aren't ones you want to marry or something.
Yeah.
I don't remember why, but it was like, ooh. Because he was like, they're too emotionally upset or something. Right. Because they're like, to be a good actor, you have to have emotional trauma or something.
Right. Which, as we learn with this, she could have been the actor.
Yeah.
It's so she weird that this movie passes the Bechdel test.
Do two women ever actually speak to each other in this movie?
No, never.
No.
Because we have the weird stuff with the assistant or the secretary. Right. Yes. Or where she's really weird around him.
Yeah. Well, I think they had an affair, right?
Yeah,
that comes out at the end.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
When he's, like, doing flashbacks or...
So what is his job? Where is he working?
I don't know.
I didn't see this movie.
I also feel really
How
bad
dare you?
I couldn't tell you any of the guys' names.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, because they're Japanese
exactly.
names?
Exactly. You tell us the names, Sean. Yeah, but it sounded much more villainous from the description than I think it actually was, because there is a real role. And he also, which maybe I think is
a little... Well, the friend is a little villainous.
That's what I was going to say.
He's saying, like...
I think it's a little cowardly.
I mean, it's such an interesting premise. The son is like, it's been 7 years. I think you should date or you should get married. And the dad's like, okay, I have taken that suggestion and I am running with it.
Yeah.
My son thinks I should get married, so I will get married now.
Right. Like, and his son is like, he brought over a girlfriend. He's like, Dad, like, I'm like knocking it out of the park right now. you're a loser.
I think it's a little cowardly from a storytelling perspective to have it be the friend. But maybe it's so that it doesn't feel like retribution. Right. I don't know. But it is interesting that it's not him pushing for it, that his friend is the more villainous one who's like, we're going to find you a wife.
It's interesting because the friend sets up this whole thing where he's like, you can't find nice girls at a bar. You have to hold an audition for them.
Of course.
But then is immediately like, that girl's not nice. Like, all of his red flags are going off and the friend is trying to warn him, like, she is not who you think she is. She's trouble.
Yeah, why does he get that? He never saw anything.
They dated before.
He can spot.
What movie did you watch?
No. Sorry. That's not true.
Leading up to us meeting her, he's like reviewing the resumes, sees that she used to be a dancer, and then she says that she had an injury.
Yes, a hip injury.
It prevented her from continuing to dance. Thank you, Christina. Yeah. And then as they're holding the auditions, every time a girl comes in, he is not interested. And this is where it feels the most like a rom-com. It's like, silly auditions.
So cute.
The friend is like, what kind of a woman are you looking for? Young? Is what he says.
Does he say young?
Yes. Yeah. I wrote it down. Yeah. And then he says, he's like, he wants an accomplished girl, a career girl, properly trained, people are confident, doesn't have to be successful, though.
Very specific. Yeah.
Yes.
That's what I want in a man.
So they do like a heroine between 20 to 35. 20.
How old do you think the dad is? Did they say?
Probably in
the
his
son
40s
is like 14 or 15.
Yeah. He's in his mid to like.
Yeah, but you could have a 14-year-old son and be like 34. But yeah, I think he's in his 40s.
Yeah. But there's definitely something to be like, I would rather have someone who's closer to my son's age.
Right.
Right.
Like, why? My age. That is always bothersome.
Yeah. So. Wait, I'm trying to remember. I feel like there's nudity in one person's audition. She just like gets naked, right?
Did you? Yes. I don't remember that at all.
Yes. Oh, yeah, I don't remember that at all, too.
Yeah, there was just this one lady who was
gets
naked.
Topless.
Oh, yeah, that...
And I
Jessica,
felt
you're
so
right.
uncomfortable.
It was problematic. That's what...
I think that whole scene was, like, it's supposed to be light, but at the same time, it's kind of eerie. And mm-hmm. I think that's what they are trying to convey.
And it's just the two of them in there.
Something
it's like,
is a little weird.
Right. It's like, this is for a real movie, but there's just the one producer and the one creep who's not a producer.
Right.
And also, it seems like every audition is different. There's no, like, here are the sides to read. It's like, this one's topless. This one's showing that she can twirl a baton.
Oh, right. You know, it's just like an America's Got Talent.
Yeah. Very America's Got Talent.
It's a general meeting.
Yeah.
Tell me about yourself.
Yeah. They're like, do anything.
Yeah.
But the radio ad is like, we're looking for the next Julia Roberts or Audrey Hepburn. They were once like regular people, too. Right.
That ad is so funny.
Could be you.
Yeah. And then our heroine slash antagonist, protagonist, antagonist, comes in and she's like very meek, very quiet, very respectful.
Down a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. She doesn't really meet their gaze. She's wearing all white.
Yeah, you look around like, is that
that's
right?
Yeah.
I think she's like wearing all white for most of it.
She's wearing like that apron that she has on the car with the syringe. You should have known.
Whole
red flag.
Saying something and then looking at the other people to be like, is that
right? Is that correct?
Is that right?
I wouldn't be surprised for Jessica specifically. Like, I could imagine you made the screen like an inch big, and you're like, did this happen?
For the last like 20 minutes, I watched this on mute. True story.
Oh wow.
I couldn't watch this and listen to sound. I had to pick one.
I mean, the scariest is usually the sound.
Yeah.
Kitty. Yeah, so creepy. All right, that's jumping to the end. So then we have this whole thing. He's into her. I wanted to say Kimiko. Did I make that up? I don't think that's her name.
Wow.
I
think you're
questions.
Right.
Let's see.
These were some of the questions that they asked. Have you had loveless sex? Are you into drugs? Can you give us a demonstration? Then somebody moans. Would you work in the sex industry?
Oh, yeah.
Would you do sex scenes? Are you psychic? I wrote down all the questions they ask.
You know, the questions they ask you in an audition.
Yeah. Are you psychic?
Not a lot.
It's important for the part. What kind of men do you hate? Wow. One of them was just walk around, please. That was the girl who got naked.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, her name is Asami. Am I saying it right?
Asami?
Yamazake.
The character or the actor?
Yes, the character. I didn't write down any actor names.
Okay. Asami?
That's how it's spelled. I don't know if that's how you say it.
What did you say a minute ago?
Doesn't sound familiar, but I guess.
Akemi? No,
A-S-A-M-I is what my subtitle said.
Hmm.
Okay.
So how would you say that?
Asami?
It's so weird because when
Sean.
You saw
Sean, help.
Well.
We're only allowed to do this movie because you're in the room.
Asami. Asami.
Asami.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Also, the director's
I'm Korean.
Name.
I'm Japanese.
I keep wanting to say Takashi Miyake, but it's M-I-I-K-E. It's like, it looks almost more like Miyake. Miyake? Is that how you say it?
He's right.
Miyake.
With this yucky movie.
Takashi Miyake. I don't know. Yeah, how do you say
it? It's Miyake. I've heard it's pronounced Miyake, but
okay,
that's
that
maybe,
sounds right. We'll go with that.
Yeah. Well, Eli Roth is like, he says Miyake, I think.
That sounds right to me.
Yeah.
Did and you watch that too?
Yeah.
Just the one, though.
Yeah.
You're missing out. There are 99 more.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, wait. So we're.
So she comes in.
Popping out of the one?
No, wait.
What?
One more time, her name?
Asami Yamazakai.
Okay.
This is brutal.
Okay, great.
Okay.
We'll say Asami.
She doesn't belong to an agency.
She says she was referred. Right.
These are some of the red flags, by the way.
She has a friend at a record company who helps her
who
get
looks
work.
Looks after her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She works for a friend 3 days a week in a small bar. She's not extravagant.
Mm-hmm. And he's immediately taken with her.
Yeah. She says, I don't want to be poor, but I'm happy if I can afford books and CDs, which is fair.
Yeah. And also, like, that's a lovable thing. You hear that and you're like. She
I feel that
art.
Way too. It's like I don't have to be rich, but as long as I can like have enough money to buy a coffee or something.
I'm reaching for mine.
She also looks like a child.
Yeah.
She looks really young.
Well, that's
she
what
looks
I'm saying,
so
though,
young.
But Asian people look young.
That's true.
She was actually
not, they
very
don't
young.
All look young, but you know.
She looks really young and she did ballet, and I feel like people who dance always look really like ballet people always look young too.
Oh, interesting. I would Thank think you. The stress of dancing makes you age. I didn't know you were a dancer, Christina.
Shots fired.
I remember the hip injury because that's why I had to stop dancing.
Really?
Yeah.
Just like her.
Yeah, I am her.
You're a dancer?
Oh, no.
You were a dancer? What kind of dance did you do?
You will only love me. I did strict classical ballet.
Wow, I had no idea. That's so cool.
For 17 years.
Jesus. And then you had a hip injury.
Yeah, I had to get surgery, and I'll have to get surgery on the other hip someday.
You know, it's funny. I would have not connected this, but because of what you were saying, Jessica, like, you could be the next Audrey Hepburn or Julia Roberts. Audrey Hepburn was a dancer, and I don't remember what sort of injury she sustained.
Yeah, she
there was
something. For Jewish people.
Yeah, to help fight the Nazis.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and Julia Roberts is a murderer.
Yeah. No, but she also became an actor because her, just like you and Asami.
Wow.
Asami.
So do we think that, like, if she'd gotten the part, is Asami really going to be an actress? Is she actually really trying to be an actress? This is a real question. Because she is so uncomfortable.
I think she's trying to fill her life with something.
I thought she was trying to, like, find... She's like, this is probably two men posing as...
She doesn't seem disappointed that she doesn't want to.
Well, I lucked out. But I want to get to, like, a little, like, what do we think it is as we've kind of explained a little more?
Because right now, I was wondering that, where I was like, if she were to actually get this part, like,
what would she do?
Yeah, what would she do?
I want to see that movie.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah.
She becomes a big star.
God, there was something I'm like trying to remember.
She's like telling her fans, you can only like me.
Yeah, I think it's kind of like if Hitler had succeeded in having an artistic career, would he have killed all the Jews? I don't know.
I want to see that movie.
Yeah. Where it's just boring and he's an artist.
Yeah.
Weren't we all just talking about that? I'm trying to think of what. I feel like there was just a movie that raised that question.
I think there's a movie. Isn't Max about that?
Oh, I haven't seen
Max. John Cusack. Oh. I haven't seen it. I only know John Cusack summaries. Something about Hitler being a painting.
No, but there was something specifically, I think, of someone becoming a killer where I'm like, would they have done this? I can't remember what it was, and it's making me nuts. It doesn't matter, but it's eating me.
I think so. Mm. I think that just having some, like, success in another avenue doesn't take that away if you're going to kill
people. Right. If you're going to kill people, you're going to kill people anyway. You're just going to have
more
access.
And she had already started.
Yeah.
So I don't think it would have stopped.
There are, like, serial killers that will just randomly stop.
Yeah.
But, like, after, I mean, they'll get old or something. Yeah, they've, like,
they're fulfilled. Yeah.
I killed 12 people, I'm
good.
That
was Golden State Killer stop for a long time.
Yeah. And so they're like, we can't find him.
Or they oftentimes take breaks.
Or the Zodiac.
But then they come back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so right now, as far as we know, she's a normal girl. He calls her up, I think, using the number on her resume.
Well, he says, I can tell you take life really seriously.
Which is, like, not
such a
compliment.
Weird one. Yeah.
No.
And the friend right away is like, she makes me nervous.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't listen. That stuff is so frustrating because the friend keeps being like, I tried calling and none of these avenues are checking out. And
right.
He's like, yeah. I don't care.
This guy that she claims has been looking out for her is missing, right? Was it dead
That's
or missing?
That's not suspicious.
Missing.
Oh, yeah. He might be. So the first time you get the sense that something is really fucked up is when he calls her. This might be later. But there's, like, a body in a sack writhing around. And you're like, this is not normal.
I loved that part.
That's a great that was
where
moment.
All of a sudden she's, like, hung over, like, slumped, looking at the phone. And then all of a sudden.
Yeah, and that is the moment that Eli Roth talks about.
Yeah, it is.
That's the
Because you see her waiting by the phone for a call. There's, like, nothing is happening. There's no music. There's no TV. She's just sitting in an empty, quiet apartment.
Mm-hmm, no furniture.
Yeah. Slumped down. Yeah. With the phone next to her, and there's a bag, like a bag full of something.
And she's been waiting for days, right?
Isn't it?
Like, just by the phone.
I think she's been waiting since the audition.
Right.
Yeah.
And the bag doesn't move until like the second or third time we see it. Because at first, it's just still. Mm-hmm. And you think it's just a Santa thing, maybe. I thought
that it might be a body, but I didn't expect that it was like a still living body.
Yeah. And then it makes this weird guttural, animalistic, like, so horrifying.
Yeah. And the bag starts flopping around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he calls. Do you guys remember what he says when he calls? He doesn't quite say, like, let's meet up to talk about the movie. I feel like it wasn't that overt and misleading. It seemed more like, God, I can't remember. I should have rewatched it. Jessica, thoughts?
I feel like he might in my notes.
say, you didn't get the part, but that might also be later. That there's a thing where he's like, right. You didn't get the part, but...
And she's fine with it. She's yeah. like, I'm just so happy I met you.
Exactly.
Yeah. yeah.
So maybe she didn't want to be an actress.
Part of me thinks she just was looking for somebody who truly loved her and only her.
Well, mm-hmm. she was an actress, technically, if she was...
Oh. There.
By coming in and pretending yeah. to be an actress? Mm-hmm. Yeah,
she's
that's true.
She's acting for a good chunk
yeah.
of it.
Yeah. So she seems really happy to meet him and to be with him. And you kind of can't help but wonder a little bit, like, what is she so excited about with him? She's
well, he confronts
young
her about the lie because the friend is like, yeah, that thing you said about how I called and he's been missing for 18 months. Mm-hmm. Like, she's not telling the truth.
And her excuse is very believable. She's like, I didn't want to seem, mm-hmm. like,
I be
not legitimate.
I, yeah, better if I had a contact.
I buy that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Great cover.
I do feel like they're two middle schoolers with raging hormones because both of them yeah. are like obsessed with each other in different ways. And mm-hmm. like,
I thought you meant the son and his girlfriend.
Yeah, too. But,
yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Like, I remember that happening where people would be like, oh, he's so bad for you and stuff. But like, your teenage brain can't yeah. grasp it. You're
they are like, kind of like teenagers, and it kind of makes sense for him because he hasn't dated in 7 years, right. it yeah. seems. Mm-hmm. So it's brand new to him, but I do wonder with
except
her.
Except he fucked a secretary.
Yeah.
Yes. Did not go over well.
Right. Not good. Not a good move.
Could that have led to his wife's death?
Oh, God.
Oh, do you think it was while he was married?
I thought so. I thought it was like an affair, wasn't it? Or
it doesn't. I don't remember if they say oh, it's an yeah. affair yeah. or not. I just know she comes in the beginning and is like, I'm getting married. And he's like, to who? And she's like, you don't know him. And it's like this weird
she's
scene where
lying.
I was like, what is the, yeah. what is happening
like she
here?
Wants him to be jealous.
She seems so like scared of him, kind of.
Yeah.
That I thought was weird. Mm. And so then when it's like, oh, they had an affair.
Yeah, I wonder if it was while
harassment.
He was married or...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not... sexual harassment either way or just questionable. Mm-hmm. But was he...
We have to definitely explore that hallucination scene. I mean, that
oh,
yeah, that,
for
yeah.
sure.
Oh yeah, there's so yeah. much.
But the friend says, "We don't know anyone who knows her," and he says, "I trust my judgment better than other people's." It is like you have to learn your own lesson.
Yeah,
right. You have to learn the hard way. He does
the very hard way.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So she has this good
not
excuse.
Hard
but he compromises with the friend, who's like, you know, let it cool down for a minute. Don't call her right away.
Which was bad advice.
Because she just waits by the phone.
Yeah. With her body flopping around.
Yeah.
Not her own body, but a person's body yeah, that sort of belongs to her now.
But I also realize, like, this is later on, but when the friend is like, just take it easy. Like, don't try to contact her just yet or whatever. Like, that wouldn't do anything if he listened to him.
Right.
Like, no matter what, I feel like the events were going to play out
right.
the way
yeah.
they were. So
if anything,
his advice doesn't do anything.
She's more angry that he waited.
Yeah.
It just adds to her rage, mm-hmm. I
yeah.
think.
Yeah.
Or like, her devotion of, like, I right. waited for you.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Maybe both. Because, yeah, she's like, I didn't think you would call. But mm-hmm. she's not seeking him out then. Mm-hmm. She's not trying to kill him for not calling. But she's,
no, but
like,
she does...
a sad teenager waiting by the phone.
Right. Yeah. She makes the move on the first date where she's like, can we go out again?
Yeah.
Like, she makes the second date.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. yeah.
But then he doesn't call right away.
Ugh, man.
Ugh. And that bad advice of, like,
you
just
wanted
cool
to.
Off. And she gets vulnerable with him. Maybe it's the third date where she starts talking about having been physically
oh, right.
burned by
yeah.
her dance teacher.
When he calls her, the phone rings, and she smiles. Do you think that's the only person who has her number?
Ooh, that's a good question. Yeah, I think so. I didn't
that's
think
alive.
So. Yeah. Well, I
that's
think
not
maybe
in the bag.
Yeah.
The empty apartment might be that she had to move.
Mm.
And we kind of find out later that she was involved in some other sort of affairs. Maybe she was living with one of those people.
Who knows?
And then now she had to move into her own place. Mm. And so, yeah, probably not a lot of people have that number. So it's got to be him. And they decide to go. Okay, I guess it's worth mentioning at some point, pretty quickly, we see our main character with his son and a dog. They have a dog. And as soon
yes.
as there's a dog, I'm like, nope, I hate this.
Yeah, it's a
I've
vehicle.
Never seen a dog in a horror movie that doesn't die. Never. Every time there's a dog in a horror movie, that's it. That dog is going to die. So I hated that they had a dog, where normally I would love to see them have a dog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't necessarily think the dog was going to die because I didn't know that everything happened at his place.
Even without knowing that, they never just give someone a dog. Never. Right. Why can't they just be a family with a dog? They but never are.
You know what? John Wick 2.
It wasn't a gratuitous killing of the dog. This is the most meaningful. Because she's so jealous of anybody loving.
Right.
It's like the dog. Yeah. That's what you're going to kill the dog.
Anything that competes for your affections. I also wonder, I mean, all right, this is jumping ahead, but the basic premise, so you guys know what's going on, if you don't want to watch Audition, which is understandable, is she tells him, they say I love you to each other, and she says she vows to love only him and wants the same from him, and he vows it in return. But he's not thinking about, like, but I also love my son and my dead wife and my dog. And she wants him to literally love only her. So my question is, she goes off the rails. There's a lot of torture and pain.
Well, would you think only her is, like, don't love any other romantic leads?
Right.
Mm-hmm. But it's literally, like, I don't like that you love your son.
So the question is, do you think if he had said, I love only you as far as living women, and I do love my son and my dog, that maybe this would have gone differently?
Maybe.
Maybe. I don't think so.
She would have been like, those are my red flags then. It's
I'm
off.
Out.
Yeah. Maybe she should just kill him then because she's disappointed.
Or
that, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, because later she's like, all men are liars. Everybody lies. But if he had just told the complete truth, would that have spared him? Or would she have then, like, killed the dog and the son and been like, now it's just me?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think it would have spared him. I think then it would have been like, well, why'd you lead me on? Why'd you take me on these dates if you weren't interested in only me?
Right.
I waited by the phone for a week.
I heard footsteps and I got scared. Yeah, that's true. But she's not trying to kill him when he doesn't call her right away. It's only like after he's said, I love you and only you, that she
wants
vengeance.
I think if he had said, no, I can't say that, then I don't think it would have gone well.
You think she would have killed him then?
Yeah, I don't think she's cool. I don't think she's like chill.
Oh, I don't think she's cool. But she does have a weird code of, I don't know if they're ethics, just weird requirements. I'm like, maybe if he'd been honest. I don't know. All right. Well, never mind.
Well, she wasn't honest with him.
Right. Yeah. She lied.
From the beginning. Yeah.
Yeah.
And she says, I'll never lie to you. But she's not honest.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
She's partially honest in describing her childhood trauma at the hands of, is it her mom's boyfriend or new husband?
I think so.
Who's
it was,
like,
was it unclear that,
he's very much like a taskmaster with her dancing and like makes her dance for him.
Yes.
And then kind of brands her. He burns her leg. What does he use?
What was that? Like an iron?
Like, it's like iron chopsticks or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's got scars on her thighs.
Yeah.
She
says, I burned myself by accident.
Oh, when did she say that?
I think when they're in bed.
Oh, so
I want you to know everything about me.
And then she says that she burned herself by accident, even though she's mentioned
when I was young, I burnt myself by accident. Oh. And he says, you are beautiful.
Yeah. She wants him to see all of her, and she undresses. She's very forward. They go away for the weekend, for a day,
which the son
does
call out the age difference. The son is like, she's closer to my age than yours.
Yeah. But he doesn't seem to have a problem.
So it's not cultural.
Right. It's not cultural.
If anything, it's more of a cultural thing here.
Yeah.
Like Keanu Reeves goes out with a woman, quote unquote, his own age, a.k.a.
Everyone
10 years
out.
Younger. Yeah. And everyone's like, oh, my God.
Everyone's
what
like, that's so, that's so brave.
Yeah. I can't believe he's dating a woman his age, a.k.a. I think she's literally like 10 years younger. Oh, God. Since none of us are like keenly aware of the order, let's just like do our best to follow what we remember.
Well, they have sex and then he wakes up and she's gone. And then he goes on this, like, frantic thing to look for her.
This, I think, is even weirder. He doesn't wake up and she's gone, because that seems like the normal way for it to go. He gets a call saying, are you still staying because your partner left? Which I think is so interesting, because normally you would just show him wake up and the bed would be empty and he'd be like, what happened? Right. But specifically the front desk calls to be like, your lady friend departed. Are you still in the room?
That's a nosy hotel.
Yeah. Right?
Maybe she's getting coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I also was weirded out. Maybe it was just, I don't know. But he just seemed so confused when he woke up, as if, like, I don't know. To me, I was like, I don't know if he, I think he, like, couldn't figure out if she was actually there in the first place.
Oh, interesting.
Like, and the room's all, like, blue.
Yeah. He's like, I thought he was like, was that a dream?
Oh, very interesting.
Yeah, that's what it seemed like to me too. Yeah.
I thought he was like, have I done something wrong? And like replaying his behavior to figure out if there was any reason why she would have left.
Why does she leave if she's so obsessed with him? Do we know? Did we find out why
to
she didn't leave?
To feed the bag. I don't know. I don't know.
Oh. I'm going to feed my bag. What?
Because then she's gone and he goes on this like whole quest to find her where he goes to the old ballet studio. He goes to the bar. He goes to like, he's trying all
and
research
is he also
you
calling...
shut it down ahead of time.
Yeah. Is he also calling her phone and she's just not answering?
Yeah, I think she's testing him.
But she goes to he goes to the ballet studio and there's a man in a wheelchair with prosthetic feet. How do you say
right.
that?
Yeah.
Prosthetic.
Is it just the feet or
prosthetic?
All legs.
Yeah, it's really confusing.
It's just the
it
feet
looks
because it calls, you know, like, yeah. Oh, yeah. What did you.
It looks like there's skin over it or something. Like,
yeah.
There's something wrong with it.
It was very confusing visually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think it's just the feet because later we see what she does with feet.
Mm-hmm.
That she doesn't take the whole leg.
Yeah. She likes feet.
And then he goes to the bar. Which is like slanted.
Mm-hmm.
That
yeah.
was an interesting
so
detail. Because then there was a massacre, and they're like, because it's slanted, the blood ran through the hallway.
That was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the neighbor
mm-hmm.
comes and gives that detail.
Yeah,
what does this have to
like
do?
It's the
yeah.
leaning
yeah.
tower of Pisa that they're in.
that the owner was murdered.
Yeah, there was yeah. like a there was a murder, but then when they got all the bodies. There was extra parts left.
Yeah.
And
that's where I
three
wrote.
Three extra fingers, an extra ear, and a tongue.
That's where I wrote. So at this point is where I'd pick up on red flags.
Yeah. he goes to this place because.
Like, that's a real. I feel like we've gone down this.
Something is not right.
Yeah. What was my friend saying about not something not being right? I think he might have been onto something.
But he shows up because she says she used to be a waitress here.
She used to work at the bar.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't remember if she said a waitress or not.
Okay. Oh, yeah. The bar would make sense.
The bar because she doesn't need an extravagant lifestyle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Do we just go to the crazy
well, that's
fever
where the movie
dream?
Goes. Well, the movie oh, yeah. goes, we see someone in his house, but we don't know who it is. We see just the POV, and it finds the picture of him and his wife.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Right. That's right.
And then the bottle of booze. We see that the POV sees the bottle of booze.
Yeah. Right. Which I thought when she found the picture, she was upset because she was thinking that he had a family. I mean, like, that he was still married.
Oh, interesting.
And that, you know, he was, like, cheating.
Yeah, they don't ever
wife.
Show
yeah.
him, like, talking about having been married or
right.
having a son.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like, did
yeah.
she even know any of that?
I
maybe
don't
not.
Know.
Yeah, you'd hope so, but they don't
yeah.
show it.
Yeah. So maybe he was purposely lying about that.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But she doesn't say, you didn't tell me you had those things.
All right, that's true.
She doesn't say much. She doesn't have
yeah.
much explanation.
Does she say something
she
like, you still love her or something? I think she might. Something like that.
I don't remember.
This is the worst because I feel like it's the longest that I've waited to talk about the movie and I'm like, fuck, I don't remember.
Well, he drinks the booze and then he passes out because
right.
it's drugged.
Mm-hmm.
And then he awakens.
But
so when he collapses,
the
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Dream.
Yeah.
He
yeah,
goes into
yeah.
the fever dream. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He collapses.
Well, we
yeah.
get a flashback to her date where she explains that her parents were divorced, went to live with her uncle, and then was abused by his wife. Which is an interesting thing to say, my parents got divorced, so I had to go live with somebody else.
Right.
Right.
What did you really do that you had to live with somebody else?
Also, what kind of a divorce is like? We're getting divorced also from you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to live with anybody.
It's like every kid's worst nightmare. They're divorced, and it is my fault, and I know because
yeah.
they divorced me too.
But she says, he made me take cold baths in the winter and push me down the stairs. Eventually, I went to live with my mother, and my mother remarried, and my stepfather hated me. He was disabled at home all day. I couldn't walk, so she had to hide during the day.
But then it's like...
Never made a sound or turned on the light.
Did she do it, or he already... I mean, it sounds like he was already in a wheelchair.
Yeah, I think the disabled part was already there.
Right.
But I think he had his feet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right, maybe, yeah.
And she says, I think ballet saved me. It calmed and purified my ugly feelings. Which I don't know if that's true.
Well, clearly it didn't.
You can't trust
or did this
anything
start after,
this woman says.
After she couldn't dance anymore. Is that when she turned to murder?
Maybe it, yeah, maybe
that's
it
what
temporarily.
You did.
I thought you said that's what I thought. That's what you did.
No, that's what I did.
Turned to murder.
Yeah.
It would be crazy to find out. Yeah, I was going to say, to find out that it was true. And it's like, well, what did you guys think? You have a recorded confession.
Yeah. Oh, God. I could get framed just saying this out loud.
But we'll speak to your character. She was monotone. I guess that is indicative of serial killers, huh?
It really is.
This movie requires a rewatch, but I bet it's the least rewatched movie of all time.
I don't think that. But in the fever dream, we see his wife, and his wife says, "Don't marry her, not her."
Yeah.
Meaning, like, I'm okay with you getting married.
Yeah. You can remarry, just not this person. And the thing about the fever dream that's so fascinating for anyone that hasn't seen it is it doesn't pick a side about being real or not real. Mm. It seems to be full of information that is accurate, like he's glimpsing things that he wouldn't be privy to from her life, areas of his own life. But then we go back to him in the hotel room when he wakes up and she's gone. And that seems like, oh, it was all a dream.
Yeah.
But then he's back on the floor where she's
tied
him up.
Well, and we see her go down to give him a blowjob, and then it looks and it's not her, it's the assistant.
Oh, right. And that happens.
Yeah, that's where the assistant's like, it was a mistake. I thought it would lead somewhere. Or he says that. Somebody says that. I didn't write down who. These are my notes.
Just an out of context note. We're going to seem really awful in that it's like the one movie we're doing not in English and we can't be bothered to remember anything about
it.
It's okay, you guys have me.
Yeah, you make it up.
You validate us.
But like then the girl becomes the secretary. The girl is Asami, and then the girl is also, it becomes the girl that the son likes. You get all these like women in this fever dream.
It's kind of that thing they do.
Which
in Vanilla
is also like,
Sky
don't include
too.
The underage girl, please, in your fever dream.
Oh yeah, but he does, right? The son's girlfriend. Right. Yeah.
Didn't his son say something weird? Like he was like, "Oh, where's your girlfriend?" or something, and his son said something misogynistic, didn't he?
What did he say?
Oh, I don't remember.
I thought he said something like, "She looks more like she should be dating me," or something. Like, right? But I might be making this up. I'm really too afraid of this episode.
Should we just scrap this?
We take a 2-hour break and rewatch the movie. Oh fuck! Sorry, guys. Also, it's a fun, like, for Sean to be exposed to us. Like, we just seem so sloppy. We're usually better. This is the worst we've ever been.
We will edit this in a way that makes it sound better.
Although I think at this point we might have to just embrace it. Because I don't know that we can save it unless you rewatch it to cut out everything that's wrong.
It's like for us, this is a fever dream where we're like, it was the movie that happened in it.
We can justify it by being like, we're in a fever dream because of the movie. Also, what great filmmaking that we were afraid to pay full attention to take notes.
Okay, what about something that he was privy to that he wasn't there for is her feeding Bagman a dog bowl with her own vomit.
Yeah, that's right.
I have real problems with this.
What?
So I read the Wikipedia, and then I watched it on mute, and I wouldn't have known it was vomit if I hadn't read the Wikipedia, because I didn't hear the noise of, does she make the vomiting noise?
Yeah.
Okay,
it's a weird
didn't
noise.
Listen to it. And it just looks like soured milk. It doesn't look like what I think vomit would look like. And then the next morning, when I was eating Cheerios.
Jessica's gagging right now.
Oh, you're reading that.
I was eating Cheerios, and like the Cheerios were getting soggy like the last ones. And all I could think of was the vomit, and it was so hard. I was like, I'm gonna throw up. And then I was like, I fucking hate that I'd watch this movie. Because it's like sticking with me in ways that I don't want it to be.
Right.
It's so visceral.
It seems like, but the man is so appreciative of it. Because he's starving.
Yeah, he loves it.
Yeah, but he loves it.
Like, back. He has gone completely. Yeah. He's somewhere else.
Yeah.
I mean, like the trauma.
Yeah. And he's missing three fingers.
Mm-hmm. Is he missing
a tongue?
His ear and a tongue. Yeah.
He's missing his tongue.
And is he missing leg parts?
I think he probably is.
He had to fit in that bag.
Yes.
Yeah. I think he's missing.
So, has she ever killed a guy? Because she killed the women that.
Maybe
the
bar
was.
Owner?
Yeah.
But that, wasn't...
that was a woman. But maybe her husband, too, right? Wasn't it like she was married and they were having an affair and she killed them both, I think?
Oh, maybe. I guess, yeah.
I might be wrong.
But I was like, why would she keep some alive? Why would she keep him alive?
Because
she wants a pet?
Yeah.
Yeah.
One thing that I really didn't like was, he shouldn't be privy to this, but he is. And he sees the bag and he's missing the fingers, missing the ear, missing the tongue. And then it flashes back to that moment of the guy at the bar saying they found three extra fingers, an extra ear, and a tongue in case we
didn't
forgot. In case we forgot the very specific body parts that turned up.
Time out of there and put it more into
like what?
The other areas.
Well, flashbacks to show her strangle the guy in the wheelchair with a piano wire.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Cut off his head.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And he seems to not hate it.
Yeah.
He kind of liked it.
Yeah.
Oh, also, I think that the reason why she does that, like makes the men into pets, is because she, the entire time, she just wanted them to love only her and, you know, completely like be dependent on her, I think.
But then why would she kill some and not
Oh,
others?
I don't know. Yeah. She says the
great logic behind all this is all words are lies, but pain doesn't lie.
Yeah.
Right. Mm. Sounds like she has a pretty vague
good therapist.
She's very chill and relaxed. Go with the flow. Yeah, I mean, her whole monologue where it's like, only when you're in extreme pain do you understand your mind.
Okay, so context for that is she's drugged.
Oh, yeah, I didn't write down any of the stuff because I didn't want to write down what's happening.
And he has this crazy fever dream where he's flashing back to stuff. But
yeah, that's the drugs.
When he comes to, she's going to cut his feet off because he can't run anywhere without any feet. Doesn't she say something along those lines? You can't go anywhere without any feet. It's almost like childlike.
Yeah.
Dr. Seuss sounding. Yeah.
She's got her outfit on.
Oh, yeah. She's kind of like a sexy dominatrixy nurse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and she's really come alive because the whole movie, she's so meek, even on their dates and like even in the sex and even all that. And then in this scene, she's like so happy.
Yeah.
And like glowing.
Gleefully
and
childish.
Giggling.
In her element.
Yeah.
Truly. Yeah.
Also, I'd like to point out that the thing that what she's wearing, I think like the leather apron or whatever, it just occurred to me that I think that the people in Eli Roth's movie Hostel who torture those clients are wearing the same thing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
As an homage.
I might be completely wrong on that, but I was like, I think I recognize that costume.
I don't want to watch Hostel 2.
I think it might be, and again, also might be completely wrong. We haven't seen this movie, you guys. It might be the first time she's not in all white.
Doesn't she have white on under it?
Yeah, I think so. She does.
I remember
have white on
one of the dates she had like a red coat on.
Okay, but was everything else white?
The saddest.
I don't remember.
Oh, red is the color of sex, so it's getting increasingly so. It starts out virginal, and then it goes to like Eros love, and then it becomes black, like the
her heart,
like her heart. Yeah, like darkness.
Well,
I don't know. I don't know if that's
point,
even true.
But she's been like meek the whole time. The only other time she comes alive before this is when they're having sex. She is very. Not that she's aggressive, but she's the aggressor. She just gets undressed.
Takes the first move.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's so not sexy.
Yeah.
Because she looks so young, and then she just kind of strips down in a way that feels very, like, demoralizing to me.
It looks like she's about to take a bath. It's not, like, seductive. She's just
it's very childlike. Right,
I'm going to change now into nothing.
It doesn't feel sexy.
She's a – that actress is a – I was reading the Wikipedia article. She's she's a model.
She's a model.
Yeah,
obviously.
But she hasn't been in other movies prior to that, I believe.
She was great.
Yeah, she was really good. Yeah,
and she's somehow scariest when she's like gleefully happy and childish, childlike.
Well, because she is also cutting through his feet with a piano wire.
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. One
laughing.
Foot. She makes it through 1 foot.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they show it all.
Not
all of it, but
they show
it
for a while.
They
show like a
mostly the motion.
Yeah.
But then they do a close up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Fun.
Yeah.
Can I just say my favorite part of the whole movie is when she throws his foot
and
it
hits
the
window.
That's such
Sheena
good
did laugh
comic
at that.
Relief.
Yeah, that's true.
It's like just so joyfully like.
Well, and before that, she's stuck like acupuncture needles in his eyes.
Right.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was going to be actually in his eyes, but it's just beneath them, which I was grateful for because it looked like it was into his eyeballs.
Right. Yeah.
That was so painful to imagine.
Yeah. But when it was tiny on my computer, it looked like it was his eyeballs.
It looks like it for me, too. It's only later that you see when they're open that they're not in his eyeballs.
And,
would you say
the drug paralyzed him.
Yes. Right. Yes. She says, you'll still be able to feel everything. You just won't be able to move.
Yeah,
she needs to say that.
Yeah. Christina, what were you about to say?
Oh, I just thought that maybe the acupuncture was good for him.
It's too deep.
How do you know?
Because she goes, kitty, 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 kitty.
So I looked this up. This I thought was interesting. I was trying to figure out, because the translation it said was deeper, deeper.
Right.
Yeah. Right, so she's making this like cute sound, which is just Japanese. And the translation says deeper, deeper, and it's like kitty, kitty, kitty. And I tried to look it up, and it doesn't. I looked up whatever the word is for deeper, and it was not that. And then I found kiru, which I think is what she's saying, and the word is cut. So I don't know why they translated it that way, but I think she's actually saying cut, 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 cut as she's like slicing him.
Yeah. Oh, well, she does it with the needles too, though.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe it's cutting through the flesh or something.
Yeah, maybe. Or that's just become the mantra, so she's going to stick with it. She's consistent.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
She threatens. Well, she threatens to hurt the son because she's like, she says, pain will like clear your mind. Yeah. So maybe if I hurt your son, you'll really be thinking clearly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the son comes back early because he's supposed to be gone, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Did we forget to mention that, like, right when he wakes up, he sees his dog dead?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
Jesus, knew it was Christina, coming.
You're like reveling in this.
Yeah. Like, what? Why? Because I'm tracking her motives so far, but why the dog?
This is all tracking for him.
Yeah.
The dog loved him. The dog loved him.
Yeah, and he loved
the dog. More importantly. Okay, fine. Yeah. All right, it tracks. Never mind. I'm back on your side.
Yeah.
But there, I guess there is like a, like the dog is to him what the man in the bag is to her. That's her pet, you know?
Yeah, she's still allowed to love her pet.
Yeah.
It's very hypocritical.
The fuck?
She should have just, like, cut the legs off of the dog.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus, I don't want to watch that movie.
That's horrible.
Her telling the dog, you'll feel everything, but you won't move.
That would be the ultimate horror movie.
And the dog's still just happy and...
I can't take it. It's every horror movie with the dog. Every single. I haven't seen one yet that disproves it. If anybody listening is like, "Here's a horror movie where the dog doesn't die," leave a comment.
I feel like Frankenweenie,
the Tim Burton
movie.
That's
not a horror movie. It is
technically. It is technically.
Oh wait, the dog does die.
Oh God,
what is happening? That's like the whole thing. Idiot. That puts it off. I will think of one and text you. My brain is not working enough.
I just don't think it exists. But
it does, but I can't.
Listener, tell us. Look, let them feel powerful, okay? Like, they have a kernel of information that you don't have.
I want to think of it. Oh, God. Okay,
it doesn't exist.
She explains the whole thing about...
It doesn't fucking exist.
About how
all dogs go to heaven. Okay, oh, fuck.
God.
None of them die.
Even if I give my entire self to you, you won't give it to me. You're all the same.
But she doesn't give her entire
self. No, she has a pet in a bag.
She has a man bag.
Yeah. A man bag, a merce.
And then the son comes home and saves the day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, how does that happen?
The son comes home and he sees his dad, and the dad's like, call 911, call the police.
And then she moves to him. She goes to get him.
Yeah. Well, yeah, to quote the name of this podcast, she's right behind you.
Right.
Yeah.
She's right behind the son. And she tries to attack the son. He runs up the stairs. She comes after him.
Oh, first he's coming to the dad, like, what's wrong? What happened? And he's saying, like, get out, right?
I think he's saying call the police.
Yeah, sure.
But, I mean, kudos to the son, because if I saw that sight, I don't think I'd be able to move very well.
No.
Yeah. No.
And he's able to get up the stairs. She comes after him, and he kicks her, pushes her.
Yeah,
kicks her down the stairs.
Yay, we remember a part.
And she breaks her neck.
It's
so easy to break her neck.
She's not very big.
Oh, she is a delicate little flower.
It does seem like she's not really going to be dead, and I think a lot of that is horror training from movies. It's like, you don't ever trust that they're dead.
Yeah, but I think that's one of the reasons why this movie wasn't as disturbing as I thought it would be, because there is redemption in the end, and they do survive.
Yeah,
so it's like,
I know for how
But what's the redemption?
Well, just they survive.
Yeah, yeah. Just that, like, he like killed her.
The or just that's not like bleak. Maybe I should date someone my own age. Yeah.
The mom walks through the door.
You're back. I was never dead. It was just a test.
You failed.
The 7-year test. Amir was telling me, I haven't seen it, but that the whole premise of the 7-year itch is basically, yeah, at 7 years, you cheat. That's just what you do.
Awesome.
And so, yeah, this was like the 7-year test.
Yeah, how long have you guys been dating?
3 years.
Okay, you got a while.
4 years. Until one of you is cheating on the other. Enjoy the next 4 years. What I don't get is what this movie is saying and also why it's considered as brutal as it is.
I get the brutal part.
Okay, explain.
I'm sorry. Did you not hear the part where I watched it on mute? Like, it is a brutal movie. You physically watch her cut his foot off and stick stuff in him, and it's torture.
Yes.
And it's awful, and it was one of the first of its kind.
And you're not expecting it, too, because you just imagine thinking you're watching go from rom-com to that.
And you're not thinking it from her. She's this, like, meek little girl, essentially.
So, and maybe I'm wrong about this, but people talk about how gruesome it is and how, I don't know, what's the word we want to use?
Gory?
Gory.
Graphic? Yeah.
Graphic.
It's a lot of G words.
None of these feel like the right word that I want.
Visceral?
That's, yeah, okay. Let's just go with, like, scariest, right? Okay, people always put it on the list of, like, scariest movies.
I love bigger
movies.
Words, but okay.
Look, put your vocab on hold for a second. But people still put it on, like, scariest movie lists, most disturbing, whatever. And movies like Hostel have come out since. So, sure, I get for the time, but, like, there are movies with a lot more. It's not that the scenes weren't graphic. It's that there weren't that many graphic scenes. And there are movies with scenes like that, but, like, 30 of them.
Mm-hmm. But I think compared to Hostel, which is, I haven't seen Hostel. That's correct.
It's been a while.
Men
but
doing the torture?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
This is a small woman.
And so that makes it scarier?
I think it makes it shocking because we live in a patriarchy. We live in a patriarchy. And we're used to men being violent. We're used to men being dominating. And I think movies like this scare the shit out of men.
And Jessica.
Well, everything scares the shit out of me. It's not hard. Yeah. But I think it is that kind of thing of, like, He's got all the power, and he's dated someone younger, and he did the audition, and he picked her out specifically, and you wouldn't think that he would be terrorized by her.
Right.
He's bigger. Mm. He's older. He's got the money. Mm. He's controlling the relationship. He's saying,
let's get
married.
I guess that makes it more surprising, but not necessarily scarier to
but
me.
But scary to men.
Right. And that's all anyone
and
cares about.
And control the
Sean? Scary.
Are you scared of women? Say the right
now
answer.
Now I am.
As three women stare at you. We're blocking the exit, Sean.
I was just going to say that I think I saw Tarantino talk about why this movie is considered so disturbing. For audiences in Japan who are watching this movie, they were not expecting this coming.
Right.
And then those two tones together do not go together like peanut butter and chocolate.
Like, peanut butter and chocolate. Yes. Okay.
It's not like a From Dusk Till Dawn thing where it's like, you know, like a crime movie.
From
and
Dusk
then,
Till Dawn is very much that.
It is those
movies.
Two tones, but they go together well. Because it's like a dark crime film, you know,
right.
And then it's also a horror movie. Okay, well, it's like, you know, those two are R-rated, you know, but this is like
G-rated.
Going from it's like it's like going from a PG to a it's like an NC-17, you know.
It's almost it's kind of boring the first half. Like, it moves so slowly that even for a rom-com you're like, all right, come on, give us a little more action.
There's not a lot of calm in it.
I thought it was so well directed, though. Mm-hmm. It's just like, I don't know. I didn't expect. I liked it because just for the sheer, like, the filmmaking is so well done. It's just like a really well shot movie. It's just kind of like,
it's a slow burn.
It's a slow burn movie,
You are waiting for something to happen.
Right. But
and then when it happens, it's all in your face.
Yeah, and I didn't think it was boring because I thought the filmmaking was just so, like, it was just firing on such a high level, like, of,
okay,
you know.
So not to be a hater, but I would love some examples. Because I feel like the way that the, and maybe it's because there have been too many movies that look similar now, but what's sticking out in my mind is, like, the audition sequence, and it's, like, one angle of the two of them in a right white room, and then reverse angle of the girls auditioning, and it's like very paint by numbers feeling to me. But I realize that there's a whole other movie around those scenes. Those are just the ones I'm thinking of.
Well, I guess, yeah, I can't really... It just felt like that I can't really, like, describe why I think, like, a shot feels like, you know, like, I don't know why in my mind, like, I'm choosing this movie, but, like, Midsommar. Like, mm-hmm. why does everything look perfectly composed? And, like, right. you know, it's just, like, this is, like, aesthetically pleasing to me.
Right.
I don't know why, but for whatever reason...
I guess less the why, but are there, like, certain moments that really stick? I mean, I think her throwing up and the guy eating it is really well done.
Well, and her, like, waiting by the phone and then the body.
Yeah.
It's crazy scary. I mean, also just the idea of somebody waiting by the phone, literally.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, oh, I'll be waiting by my phone.
Right. Uh-huh. But
no,
actually.
Literally. And also, in, like, an uncomfortable position.
Also that's like such a passive thing to do, and she's, like, ultimately not this passive character. But yeah, are there, like, shots that you're specifically like, oh, this was very pleasant to me? Or just the overall feeling?
I guess not. You know, it has been, like, 2 weeks since we've seen this movie, but I can just say, I mean, like, throughout, I was just like, oh, this feels like this is an auteur filmmaker. Like, it's a smart filmmaker that knows what he's doing. And it just felt like the frames were really well composed. Horror movies, like, it's a genre that, like, looks ugly a lot of the time.
Right.
And this movie, you know, I think that's maybe why Midsommar, like, Hereditary look like so, they're like, well, this is like, Scorsese made a horror film, I'd be like, it wouldn't be content-wise, but, like, it would look like Hereditary, you know? It's like, there's something about the slickness, like, of this movie where I'm like, oh, this is, like, a natural filmmaker, and you don't get a lot of those in horror, because it's, like, it's a very exploitation kind of...
Anything that you can do on no money, and people don't expect it to look good, so you can get away with it.
It's like, you know, but I watched 13 Assassins after this. After watching this movie, because I was like, oh, I'm going to start watching more of these Miike movies because they're just so good.
I like that one.
Yeah. And that, it's great. I mean, it's just like a brilliant, it's like a Kurosawa movie.
Yeah.
And it's like, this guy really knows what he's doing. He's so smart. And I get why a filmmaker like Tarantino calls this movie, like, a masterpiece. There is, like, Hitchcock. There's Hitchcock in it, you know?
I preferred it when you said Hitchcock.
Hitchcock.
I'm
English.
I've, like, repeated it afterwards and, like, taken stuff from it.
Right.
I mean, like, speaking about Hostel or something.
Right.
Like, direct.
Like, is this torture porn origin story?
Kind of, but I think it's also the shockingness of the reveal at the end. Like, that idea of a slow burn that you see in, like, Midsommar or Hereditary. Mm-hmm. Like, the idea of, like, I mean, especially Hereditary, which is, like, a straight drama for the first bit and then becomes a horror.
Right.
That's a genre blend.
Yeah.
There's, like, a lot of, like, subverting expectations and not knowing, well, when is the horror coming?
Yeah.
I thought I was here to see a horror movie.
Okay, so my question for all three of you, we can go around the room in any which order, is, like, what do you think the movie is saying? Or do you think it's not really saying anything and that's fine? It doesn't have to, because it's just the story well told.
I watched an interview with – we don't have to start with me, especially since it's a movie about misogyny.
Let the man speak.
All right, everybody quiet.
I just wanted to – I'll interject this one thing really quickly. Takashi Miike was in an interview said that a lot of places labeled him as a misogynist. The interviewer was like, so, but in England, you know, like, we're a lot smarter than everywhere else. And we get that this is, like, a feminist statement. And then Takashi Miike was like, yes, exactly. Like, something to that extent.
We watched it together. And I think his response was, like, I've heard both sides and I don't feel either way. Like, I thought that he was, like, very neutral about it.
I thought he said yes. He was like, yeah, I agree. Yeah, like, you know.
Well, regardless of what he wants us to think after the fact.
What do we think?
What do you get from the movie?
Well, let me say, no, because
fuck what he has to say about it. He's, I mean, I guess he could come out and be like, yeah, I hate women. But it's, like, not a cool thing to say.
I think there is a feminist angle in it. I think, you know, this is the story of somebody who went through horrific abuse by many men. And then she couldn't dance anymore, and she had to channel her pain into something that makes her happy.
Love this movie, Jessica.
No, but I do. But it does feel.
So do I.
You actually do, though, right?
Yeah, I do.
there is like a men beware kind of thing of like, you know, men who abuse women and hurt women. Mm. You don't always fucking get away with it. Like, sometimes your victims are going to come back. And then, you know, sometimes they're going to overcorrect and go after somebody who also loves his son.
Right. But overcorrect. That's all she's doing here. Yeah, she's overcorrecting.
But there is, I mean, if you had started this movie.
You should have called it overcorrection.
This is, I think, one of our, like, funniest and, like, least well-researched hopefully it'll be a blast to listen to, and you'll also be like, fuck these people.
All I can think is, like, I should have done so much more research. Same. I did so much research on Jennifer's body. Take up all my time. But I do think if you had started this movie, I mean, it's interesting to pick this chapter of her story. If you had started this movie earlier and it ends with her killing the piano teacher guy.
Right.
Not a piano teacher. Ballet. The guy.
Yeah.
Who,
yeah, yeah.
If that was the story about this little girl who was abused and abused and abused and then stands up to her abuser, that is a movie we'd be cheering for.
However, she has and then it ends the bag body before she kills the. So just in terms of like the timeline, she already has who I'm assuming is maybe the record producer guy, or it could be the husband. No.
But you know what I'm saying? If it ended with her killing the first victim.
But what I'm saying
or
is,
whatever.
He's not even her first victim.
But if we had ended with whoever.
You're saying if it had been a different story.
No, I'm saying if like, who was the first victim?
Well, either the record producer, or who I think is the guy in the bag, or the woman and her husband that she was having the affair with.
Well, but she started with, didn't she start with cutting off that guy's feet? Because that was
the one who burned her, right?
Yeah.
So his feet were cut off, but she kills him later.
Right. Yeah. So or, I feel like that was like her progression was like the first thing she does was cut his feet off.
Right. But so I guess if it ends with cutting his feet off.
If it's her rising up against her abuser.
Yeah.
I feel like we would be cheering her on.
Right.
I think it's the overcorrection that makes her unlikable. but just that story is a feminist story about somebody who's an underdog who stands up to
it's a
her
rape,
abuser.
Kind of like a rape revenge story, although I don't know if there was like a sexual inappropriateness.
It's an abuse revenge story.
Mm-hmm.
And I could also easily see him, this story just being like the audition, and then it goes well, and then they're like, you know,
they live
they have,
happily ever after.
Yeah, they live happily ever after. Yeah. I don't think there would be a lot of people initially being like, oh, this is really problematic behavior for the main character because his friend, the sleazy guy, was the one that ushered him in. Mm-hmm. And like, I think that eventually people would go back and go like, wait, this is, you know, but it's sort of like a rom. It really is like a rom-com. I can see there's way more problematic stuff,
especially
than this movie.
When it came out, like that was a rom-com movie. Like that was how movies were.
I mean,
and it's not until now that
I always think of Overboard as an example. That's a rom-com of like a guy who basically kidnaps a woman because she has no memory, and she's like, he's like, you're my baby's children now, and you can't
clean. It's revenge because she was mean to him.
Right, but still.
Think about like My Fair Lady. That's like isn't he like sculpting Eliza Doolittle into. You know, she's a bet,
like,
too.
Like,
oh, I don't remember that she's a bet. I remember just, like, the rain in Spain falls mainly on Blaine.
Oh.
I didn't remember.
But they're
the
also,
premise.
Like, verbally abusing her in there and being like, you're dumb. You're.
Right.
And you need to get better.
Her into, like, a classy woman. And
it's
then,
like, isn't that romantic and funny?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Rom-com. Yeah, I think there could be a lesson to infer on culpability that even though the guy is just going along with it, he shares the blame, but I don't necessarily think that that's what the movie is saying. Christina, you haven't weighed in.
What I do like about the movie is that I think that a lot of movies, especially back then, characters were either evil or good, and I think what we're seeing now in television and stuff is there's well-rounded characters that aren't fully good and fully evil, and that's what I liked about this film. It's the characters. You get where they're coming from, kind of, but they're still, like, none of them are, like, that is the evil person here. I like that it's like a kind of confusing.
I mean, I think there are shades of gray, and I'm going to be like the anti-feminist 50 here. Of them?
Speak of this movie.
But I think she is evil. Like, sure, she's been through some shit, but ultimately her actions are wrong.
You think she's evil?
I mean, she murders a dog.
Okay.
Then we have to get into a conversation of what is evil.
Right.
Yeah.
Is it Christina?
They do.
Can you develop evil?
I don't know.
Well, they do a good job at least of explaining she wasn't born like this.
Yeah. Like, she's not a psychopath.
Well, we don't know for sure. She might have been born like this, but now she just has motive, too.
But I think by giving her a backstory of trauma, my interpretation is she wasn't born like this.
Well, I'll say, Sean, you lost your dad. All three women here have endured. I'm sorry. That was because I didn't want to exclude you, but also I'm kind of not making about you for a second, which is the three women here I know have had like real trauma, and none of us that I know of have like mutilated men in response. So there's something in her that still reacts that way.
But, and it's also like one of those things you can discuss of like, you know, people that kill now, it's like, yeah, they go through bad hardships and usually their abuse and stuff, but that doesn't give them the right to kill someone else. So I do think that there's some type of like mental illness in there probably that just like came out when she was an adult.
But she also seems to really love the pain. It's not like she's just killing people.
That's true.
Right.
Really does.
Yeah, she wants them to suffer.
Yeah, I wonder if she was that happy doing ballet.
Yeah.
Heroine. Right. Giggling.
Was she giddy doing
ballet? Ballet is very painful.
Yeah. That was, I did like that because it was interesting that they connected her to ballet because ballet is terrible on your body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you massage Christina's feet?
Yes.
Aw.
No. But cut out the no. Edit that out, please.
I remember when Sean and I first started dating and he's like, oh, you have cute feet. And I was like, you haven't seen them. And then I showed him them and he's like, oh.
That's
I'm
not
like, yes, no, it is. But I was like, no, I
threw him into a dog bowl.
No, you like, you from afar, you're like, oh, they're so daintiness and stuff. And I was like, no, you look at them up close. They are bunions. They are
But you
callous.
Earn them because you're a ballerina.
Yeah.
And that's fucking
they're
cool.
Forever smushed. Like, they're, I have messed up feet.
That's cool. I have ugly feet and I didn't dance.
So just say you
just
did.
Just genetics. I should. But then people be like, but what? How are you so uncoordinated? Okay, do you guys think, and then we'll move on to our final question.
Okay.
Oh, we can say one thing really quickly.
Yeah. You can say it slowly if you want.
I can totally see what you're saying by that it's totally valid that this can be an irresponsible depiction of a woman going through trauma, and that makes perfect sense. There's no but.
Thank you.
On the other hand.
No, but
yet.
Synonym for but. Also.
I like to, the way that I was viewing this movie was, it's sort of like a kind of a meta commentary on how we're just okay with a lot of like movies where it's just like, it's like the Manic Pixie Dream Girl. It's the, you know, I think in Japanese culture more so it's like subservient woman. And, you know, it's sort of like guys being predatory, male gaze, everything. And it's you know, using a cool genre blend to – cool. But like
cool.
An interesting one.
Cool
Yeah. I think it's a really interesting – it feels like a – sociological experiments kind of in a way, like you don't, you're like, you know, oh, this is da-da. And I couldn't help but think, like, as I was talking to Christina about this, like, yes, I felt like the guy was creepy, absolutely. They use like the most likable actor in the world, like he's so charming as an actor. I felt like I was like, who is this guy? He's got to have worked on, like, you know, before. I just felt like give this like Tom Hanks quality to him, like an everyman quality. And then, you know, really tried to make you like him despite the, you know, the framing of like what he did, you know, put him next to a much shittier guy and everything. So in the movie, you're sort of like, I felt like I'm completely wrong for liking this character. But I think that a lot of audiences probably did feel the same way, or at least male viewers of this would watch this movie and go like, he objects to what his buddy's doing, and, you know, and he doesn't really want to do it. And he puts, you know, he like, mm-hmm. he's really apprehensive about the whole thing, and that doesn't excuse him from what he does at all. But
I feel like it kind of does. I mean,
what do you mean?
Interesting. Like, well, he's not totally.
I'm more
in
of an ally than you, I guess.
You're an ally. I'm a nemesis. No, like, I buy as much as you. I mean, you can say like, oh, she's had all this trauma, and that's why she's acting this way. I'm like, he lost his wife, and he's trying to satisfy his son, and his friend comes up with this cockamamie idea, and then he's like, no, this is bad, and this is exploitative, and then he's like, no, there's still a movie,
right?
And he's like, all right.
I mean, the movie's not real.
Yeah.
They're like, right. the backers pulled out. They didn't like the script. That's what we'll say.
Is that what happened?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not like
I don't think
really
they even
casting.
Had a script.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not a, this is not really happening. He's more like, in the future, there will be a movie of some kind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I feel like as far as our main guy is concerned, the friend initially is saying there really is a movie.
Because that's what he says to her on the date is like, oh, about that part.
It fell apart.
Backers,
yeah.
They want us to rewrite the script. It's not going to work. And she's like, that's okay. I met you.
Right.
That was my terrible impression.
But going into
of her.
It, he thinks that there is a real movie, right?
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No.
But he's kind of told, like, that it's fine. We do this all the time.
Yeah, he gets talked into it.
But maybe I was looking at it, like, when we were talking about it just now, like, maybe the way to look at it is, like, Takashi Miike is punishing the viewer, not the character in the movie. He's punishing mm-hmm. the viewer for going into this movie and feeling like,
How dare I want to watch a rom-com? Fuck you. You like the filmmaker saying fuck you because you also like Irreversible.
You like punishing.
Yeah, you like the filmmaker punishing the audience.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah. I didn't do anything. Leave me alone.
All I did was give you money.
Yeah.
I will say, I think that if I watched this movie right when it came out, however long, was that like 20 years ago or something?
Yeah.
Like, I think I would have been traumatized.
Yeah,
I think I would
so
have
too.
A different
I feel
reaction.
Like I'm traumatized right now. I don't watch these movies.
I don't either, but I was overly prepared.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, maybe because you had been told how terrible it was.
But you had too, and that's why you didn't want to watch it.
I
put a Parmesan crust.
But I haven't seen Hostel. I saw the first Saw, but I haven't seen any of the others. I don't watch any of these movies. So even knowing what it was, because I watched Bravo's 100 Scariest Movie Moments,
right.
I was still traumatized by all of it. There's
right.
something about being told what happens versus seeing it. There's a reason I had to press mute, and I'm mm-hmm. still having a hard time eating cereal. Like you're saying, what's the big deal about it? I still can't eat cereal normally. Like, it is a big deal.
I think for the viewers who were watching this movie initially, you never go from, like, rom-com to
it's
that.
True.
It's like, can you think of another movie like that? There's not – even, like, Psycho, like, which is, like – you know.
Well, He Loves Me, He Loves You Not is great at a twist. Like
oh, yeah.
That.
Oh, yeah.
The first half is a rom-com. The second half is a horror.
Did it come before this movie?
No.
I think it was after.
I don't think so.
Let's see. This is
it was
99.
Audrey Tattoo.
I will say I'm glad that we chose this movie because when I looked it up, the production company was fully on board with this movie because they just had made The Ring and it
2002
such a big success.
He Loves Me, He Loves Me Not. It's 2002.
So 3 years later. Okay, sorry. So you were saying that it was such a big success. What was the success? Oh, The Ring.
Oh,
was
The
a
Ring.
Big success.
Yeah, Ring was such a big success that they that Ring was like the starting off point for Japanese horror, and then they like followed it up with this movie.
Right.
So it's a perfect second episode for you.
Yeah,
it works out. All right. If you guys are anyone in this movie, who would you be?
Bag man.
No,
I'll
say the same thing.
All right, let's hear why.
I just like sleeping in bags. I don't know.
I like milk.
Oh. Only when it's funneled through the stomach of a beautiful Asian woman.
Oh God.
I bet her teeth are bad.
Yeah,
vomiting.
Yeah. Her teeth and her feet. Dancing and vomiting.
Yeah.
The vomiting is a strong choice, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
I wonder where
yeah.
that comes from.
They don't show her, though. Like, that is a classy decision. That they
yeah,
don't show her
throwing up in the bowl. I bet it was her choice not be like, no, we're not doing that.
Is that part of why she's so skinny? Yeah. She's got an eating disorder.
Yeah. She's so petite. Yeah.
It's why I cited it as one of the scenes that I really liked cinematically, because she goes just off camera and does it and then.
Right. I'm so glad I didn't hear it. But I still can't eat.
Who are you?
Nobody.
The cereal?
I can't imagine I'm anybody. And maybe the son? No, I never wanted my parents to get remarried. So, no.
But he doesn't want them to get... Oh, yeah.
Like, my mom's not divorced, and I was never... And she's been single forever. And you're like, I've never good. Been like, yeah. No, I've got real... I saw the stepfather. I've got real fears of my mom remarrying. So I wouldn't have been him. I don't know. Maybe his friend that comes over. The girl.
Oh, I thought you meant the sleazy producer guy.
I do, but when he's like red flag, I relate to him in that.
Right.
Because I would be that person that's like, why aren't you listening to me? I've checked her out. Nothing adds up. Yeah. Like, yeah. Jesus.
That part of him. Maybe I'm the person at the bar who's like, listen to all of this horrific stuff that happened here to a stranger. Have a good day. Oh,
blood. Yeah, like, fun fact, the building is tilted. So.
Thank you guys so much for coming on.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
And the romance continues. This is a beautifully romantic film.
It's like, thank you, and also, love. Fuck you. For making me watch this movie.
Sean, do you want to tell people why they should give us 5 stars and write a nice review?
Because this is, I get, horror movies are great, and
Jessica and I?
And you and Jessica are great. God, I'm
like
a boring person.
I was like, what?
He's under duress.
Well, we are holding it at gunpoint. That shouldn't make it.
We have some piano wire. Do you want to promote anything? Social media?
Me? No.
Both of you, yeah.
Anything?
Sean does. He loves to talk about
Go ahead.
So menacing.
Sean Perlman.
On Twitter? On
Twitter
Instagram?
And Instagram.
You have a very funny tweets.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much.
This is the first time we've had 5 on here. Because it's been all of us and then your dad's ghost in the room.
I love it.
I'm sorry. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.